This one's quite wet, so if I start to sizzle. Is it working? Great. Just to share, this isn't to embarrass anyone in particular, but I asked Pete and Ruth some months back, I said, do they remember the time when it was at Rora, and they were, I know my dad was involved and another man called Chris Stoneman, but they made a, what's it called? A ritual. And Pete and Ruth were on there, I think, was it your wedding day? It was their wedding day. Can I just say that it was my first ever memory, which I can remember now. And I've done the maths, it's taken me quite a while to work it out. I was 4 years old, not to make you feel mature and wise, but wonderful, the Lord's so faithful, isn't he? And I know it came to a bit of a crash, didn't it? Going down, they ran it down Rora Lane and then it came to a bit of an abrupt end, that's what I've heard, and I think someone ended off falling off, and but wonderful. Great memories, isn't it? I remember the wall on the, there's Rora Lawn and there's a wall there, and a load of kids were all lined up watching this going on. It's wonderful. So that's 36 years ago. Okay. Great. I can still remember that. Isn't it all good? He's spoken this morning. When I hear the word shepherd, something grabs me, something speaks to me where he wants to tend us again. He wants us to draw in again. Says in about that he wants to draw aside us, and I think something wonderful about the shepherd is that he so wants to draw in alongside us. We sometimes find it hard to be tended. I think we can rely sometimes on our own strength, abilities, and natural abilities, but the Lord wants us to come like that sheep, and like the sheep he wants to come and he wants to tend us. We can find that hard. A world that really pushes us to be self-sufficient, to be independent, to have an amazing identity, to rely on your own strength and your courage, to be brave, and many things that almost, it leans far away from allowing the shepherd to actually lead us. My subject this morning, I'm so glad Jenny just mentioned that from scripture in the first song that we sung. It's all working out okay. The Lord's great, isn't he? It's about the Lamb of God. I know some weeks, Dave spoke a couple of weeks ago and we'd had just a lovely time of worship, and then he got up and spoke and said, I don't think this is really in line with what... But it was, you know. It was. It really wasn't. I think it's all in line, isn't it, when you just talk about Jesus. All I want to do this morning is talk about Jesus. He's wonderful. There's wonderful power in his name. He's wonderful in the sense that he's left the Holy Spirit to reveal more about him. Has he done that in this last year? Can you say that your walk has got closer to him, allowed him to live in through you more and more? We must become like sheep. We must allow the shepherd to guide us, tend us. He so wants to look after us. If you've got your Bibles, just come with me into John chapter 1. We've heard from there just now. Just a few weeks ago, we were down on my in-law's farm. It's lambing season. And when you're on a farm, something gets stirred in me where you see just very much, it's grubby, it's dirty, it's hands-on. There's earth, there's mud, there's other things that smell. It's waking up, it's unsocial hours, you've got a bit grafting, and we were cutting down and pruning trees. We were restaking them in the ground, and things were being grafted, and it's wonderful. I can understand now why the Lord Jesus spoke in parables, in some language that people would understand. And so whilst on the farm down there, the Lord just, well, I try and just be an open book. I have to kind of almost sift that the Lord's not, oh, that's everything that the Lord's saying. But, do you know where I'm coming from? I was in the position where the Lord could just speak to me. And one of the things that really spoke to me was the lambs. The lambing season. The Lamb of God. Let me just read this scripture. Chapter 1, verse 26. The Pharisees have just been testing John and asking him questions. Who was he? And verse 26 says, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Again he says this, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with his two disciples, and looking at Jesus, as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. I tried to retrace what's happened in the last year and 18 months in this country and across the world. We're so global now that you don't just hear news of your neighbourhood, you hear news of the nation, you hear the news of other nations. A lot of it bad. And I couldn't help but thinking that in all these things I've heard, where is the Lamb of God? Where is that wonderful sacrifice? Where is the Lamb that's so gentle? Whilst the church in the UK or the Church of England meets up and discusses many points, many rows, much confusion, where is the Lamb of God? I'll talk a bit later about how he was silent. How Jesus was silent in front of his accusers. But here I just want to focus on this word, behold. Do we use that word much these days? I don't tend to. I'm not sure the last time I, you know, behold my new car. Or, you know, this. I think my friends would look at me slightly strangely if I mentioned. But there's something so impressive about the word behold. I looked it up. It's great, isn't it, to do homework? See. Observe. View. Watch. Survey. Pete prayed earlier on about surveying the cross. Survey the Lamb. Gaze at. Gaze upon. Scan. Witness. Contemplate. They're all amazing things, and I think that they're all not just in a quick moment. They're all ones that actually speak that it's going to take a bit longer than just a gaze and then you move on. I think he wants us to look at him more as the Lamb of God, that wonderful sacrifice. The Greek meaning is be sure to see. Or i.e. it says don't miss this. Can I repeat that? Don't miss this. There were many there that missed it. The Pharisees and others, they missed it. He was there, he was among them. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You know, this morning you can see and you can know the Lamb of God. Do we make time to do that? All the things I mentioned about seeing, observing, viewing, watching, surveying. The world basically wants us to be kept so busy, so preoccupied, so caught up with the cares, that he wants to take our focus off the wonderful Lamb of God. I'm 100% sure of it. If there is wickedness and a spirit that's at work now, it's taking off total focus off the Lamb of God. Wonderful testimony, so of that man. Wonderful. What was he thinking about? Where was his thoughts? Was it the Lamb of God? I'm sure the thoughts of the Lamb of God. Understanding the Lamb of God is understanding what he's done for us. Last week, I was preparing for this in my sanctuary, the dining room table. It was quiet. Place where you can just allow yourself to think about Jesus. And the doorbell went, and we don't often get the doorbell go, and it was on a Monday around lunchtime. Two men turned up. They were dressed very smart. You know where I'm going. They were very polite. I had to be careful not to allow them in the door, because our cat at the moment wants to be running out and we can't allow it to go out. So I went outside and just stood with him and talked. All my thoughts were about the Lamb of God. Yes. Wonderful. And they were giving there, and it was all very polite and very, but the Jehovah's Witnesses, oh Lord, all what they I had to go back in and read up what they actually really focused their beliefs on, and their whole system and their whole. Oh, but whilst I was preparing for this, my thing was the Lamb of God. I went out and I basically said, you know, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? It is. Him, the Lamb. And of course they tried to divert my straight, very much, my belief and what I know that you believe. And they wanted to bring it back in line with future times. And I said, it's about Jesus, what he's done. And after speaking to him, it was very, they'd heard of the Longcroft, by the way. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they but they'd heard of the Longcroft. And but the wonderful thing is that what I found was that the Lord almost brings just a little boldness, doesn't he? He backs up what you may think and believe with what comes out of here. And then when it comes out on here, you feel a little bit more like, yes, Lord, it's true. Wonderful. He wants that more and more. It's what happened with the disciples. They were unschooled, untaught, gave them some boldness. One stands up, and then some believe over there, and then it spread there. And then it went over there, pockets of it all spread. That's what we need these days. But can I just remember the Lamb was gentle? We must be gentle. I looked at these two chaps and I thought, oh, what are they missing out on? Having a current, intimate, loving relationship with Jesus, the Lamb of God. Went to a men's weekend the other day in Quinta, and it was good to hear Dave sharing again. And he said it was about knowing God's heartbeat. Is that right? Along the lines of knowing God's. He said God's heartbeat is Jesus. And he tapped. I'm sorry, you might want to share that again, but it was wonderful. It really spoke to me. The very heartbeat of God, Jesus himself. The wonderful Lamb of God. Anyway, the conversation finished with these two men. I went back to my books and I did have a read up about what they believe. It's good to know, isn't it? If you're in conversation, it's good to know what ground you stand on, but also where they're coming from. They believe that Jesus is the Michael the Archangel. Oh Lord, such confusion. Pray for those two men. Would you come with me into Acts chapter 8? Got a brilliant Acts is such a wonderful book. You've got chapter 7, Stephen the martyr was stoned and killed. In chapter 8 talks about Saul, who was basically wreaking havoc on the church, and it was a real time of persecution. And then comes this interesting character called Simon the sorcerer, and he basically had control over Samaria with all these magical tricks that he'd done. He'd basically corrupted the people, and the people thought he was a great man of God. Interesting, isn't it, how many people look upon signs and then they will believe just by that, and maybe not on the integrity and the character of the person. You need that twofold thing, you know. Anyway, it comes to light and the story goes on with Simon. And then I'm interested by this man, Philip, the evangelist. This is a great one, isn't it? Simon then believes, but to what extent, I question that. Let's catch it up in chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, along the road which does go down, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and while sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" I'm just picturing it, I'm sorry, but I find out he's a guy that's jumped off his, and then he's run, and then, so I'm guessing the chariot would have been going at a speed when Philip could have actually, you know, caught up. And anyway, I look at into all the little, and he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And I'm trying to think in the whole scheme of the Lamb of God. Something amazing about this picture here is that there was a man that was seeking, which was the eunuch. He had an inquiring heart, I believe, after scripture, after the Lord Jesus. And it so spoke to me that the actual portion that I wonder if he read the whole, we'll go there in a little bit, of Isaiah 50 and the whole suffering servant passage. But amazing that I think that he must have questioned about the Lamb of God. We read it here. "And as a lamb before its shearer is silent." And then he goes on, excuse me. Verse 34. "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." Isn't that wonderful? I'm so caught by this story. You know, the lamb that was slain was for all. I've read a little bit about the eunuch. The Lord's after all hearts. And the Lamb of God, that wonderful blood, it was atonement for all. The amazing thing about reading through the Old Testament is that I've got all the scripture here, which is just many scriptures all about the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. You can read through it. But the huge, amazing combination of all of it was Jesus. Totally fulfilled. If you read Leviticus, and then next to it you read Hebrews, oh. Many can hang after things that, I have to be careful what I say, but Jesus, he's fulfilled it all. Wonderful Saviour. And Philip, I believe that when he was reading through, the eunuch, when he was reading through these scriptures, I think something by the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit lodged in his heart. When he was reading about the suffering servant, I think something just got him. Does that give us hope? Someone who's reading something on a train, you see them and they're reading scripture, or someone that you're in contact with is reading and inquiring about things, it must give us hope. The wonderful Holy Spirit is at work. He's the one that wants to prepare ground, he wants to penetrate hearts, and this eunuch, I believe that just while reading, and I'm not interpreting it in my own small mind, but I wonder when he heard about the Lamb, something made him believe. We'll go on. It says here, then Philip opened his mouth, and I said this, he preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. Now this goes a little bit against having 8 weeks of preparation before baptism, or doing a degree, or doing anything, or overthinking things. He believed, and he went down to the water. If you believe with all your heart, and when I heard that I thought of Simon, the sorcerer. It said that he believed. But then it says he believed with all his heart, the eunuch. You may not look into that too much, but I sense something there. It was his all. The eunuch read and heard maybe about the Lamb, and then he positioned himself. He wanted more. He said, come and sit up here. Tell me about the scripture. Simon, the wickedness of money and the use of it corrupted him. Power. Simon the sorcerer. He wanted to use it so he could give out, people could pay for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's just, oh. But the eunuch, he wanted something more. If you believe with all your heart, Philip said, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, praise you, Lord. Philip's arrival was an interesting one, and also his departure was an interesting one, wasn't he? All by the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Are we rejoicing this morning? Do you have the wonderful person of the Holy Spirit living and working inside of you? One thing I think that it's slightly missing, and maybe we've gone off point, and I look at myself on this, is that when thinking about things like baptism, and maybe talking with younger people about it, I almost want to say that in the total, not in the background, but at the forefront, must be the Lamb of God, is knowing what the Lamb has done. The danger is we can just learn about Christianity, we can attend church, come to a place when it's having that wonderful understanding and knowing in your heart by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus the Lamb has died for us. Isn't that wonderful? Let me just get up. There was a hymn that... Let me just read this. If I repeat the phrase, the Lamb of God, too much this morning, I'm not going to apologise. Because it's wonderful. I believe it's what we need more. It says this. Oh, that the world might know the great atoning Lamb. Spirit of faith, descend and show the virtue of his name, the grace which all may find, the saving power impart, and testify to all mankind, and speak in every heart. Wonderful. There's another one that really spoke to me when I was reading it. He hath the bride, and he alone, almighty to redeem. I only make his mercies known, I send you all to him. His only righteousness I show, his saving grace proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. If all our work down here is to do that, we have work to do. It talks in scripture when the Lord sent disciples out, that he sent them out as lambs amongst the wolves. Slightly unfair, do you think? If you compare the little lamb with the wolf. But the amazing thing is that it makes us rely on his power, his given Holy Spirit, that we should be lambs among the wolves. All that cries out in the world at the moment is from the wolf. Compare the lamb with the beast. I wrote down some. The lamb, in direct contrast to the beast. The beast is savage, cruel, hostile, destructive. The lamb is gentle, compassionate, loving and kind. Innocently suffering and dying to atone for our sins. What does the Lamb bring? I put a question mark and I didn't even answer it myself. What does the Lamb bring? Forgiveness? Redemption? How did it arrive? Well, I think it was in the great plan of God's wonderful work of salvation. Right before time. Why a lamb? It sent me to the... you remember it. Genesis 22, and I was thinking about Abraham and Isaac. Let me just turn there. You don't have to turn there, but it was a little phrase that he used. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood. Look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" It just grabbed me, that question, where is the lamb? Do we have that at the forefront of what we believe and what we are today? Where is the lamb? See, the danger is, something I've been thinking about, is that we can be so... caught up in the world's thinking and the spirit of the world, that it can have an effect, it can have a slight imprint on how we think. It shouts loudly, it's cruel, it's all these things, but there's something that the Lord wants us to return to, knowing the wonderful Lamb, gentleness, tenderness. precious Lord. Just go with me into Luke chapter 21. Excuse me. This was shared the other Sunday evening. Richard was sharing from here. And verse 34, chapter 21, verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth, whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Something when I was reading those things is that when the Lamb, and when we understand what the Lamb of God is and what Jesus has done, is it can break many things. It can break carousing, drunkenness, cares of the life. I put here addictive behaviours. There are many things that it can break, that break the power of. Isn't there a hymn that we sing about the bleeding lamb? Is that right? For me, the lamb, the bleeding lamb. For me that sounds, it's constant. Yes, it was at one place shed for all, but it's almost now it's still speaking. It can still break these powers that so ensnare. Do we believe that? Do we honestly believe that? I can think now. Oh, Lord. Lord, break powers. So easily ensnare. Be very careful what you watch. Be very careful what you see. Be very careful of your counsel. Take it to the Lamb. We can often be so quick to want to share something to someone, and please don't misunderstand me here, but the Lord, He wants to tend us. He wants to hear our care, our problem that we face. Do you know where I'm coming from? Sometimes we can just quickly just let it all. Can I just say, take it to Him? What's that hymn? Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. If He is, which He is, I know. He wants to hear our frustrations, our... Take it to Him. Precious Lord. I've got many scriptures here, but I don't want to jump around the Bible for too much. But I really thought about how the Lamb was silent. Silent amongst His accusers. Says in John 19 about this, John 14, Luke 23, Mark 15. I went through all of them, and still it took me back to Isaiah 53. If we can just turn there. I'm sorry to keep jumping around, but when you start reading about the Lamb of God, you realise that the whole, it's endless. And really, we should learn from that it's actually, it should be so high on our list. It should be so present. We read when we walk, when we talk. Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised. Verse 3, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Here's the theme of this morning. If you think of the sheep and the shepherd, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. If that's not a sentence that sums up the world that we live in now, I don't know what is. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. Wonderful Lord, you can carry on going down. Something that I, going back to hard little time on the farm, we had two sheep that we had to, they were the neighbour's sheep. This is down on my in-law's farm. We had to try and catch them. Sheep, not particularly easy to catch. They were bouncing around everywhere. They would leap. They actually leaped over the height of our children whilst we tried to get them. Anyway, we ended up getting the sheep, me and my brother-in-law, and we got them on this trailer. And I realised that there is actually a position in which you can get a sheep and it will just remain docile. I don't recommend it. But there is, and it spoke to me about how the wonderful position of the Lord Jesus, that when he was on the cross, in some ways he was so defenceless. He was spread out. He was left there. And very much similar to when I had this sheep, I had to have it against me, I was holding it. And if you do get it kind of on the back, it does end up being a bit motionless. I mean, we took, don't know if Joe's here, I remember taking Sean, who's now not with us, down to the shearer. Sean, his name was. Sean the shearer and Sean the sheep. There's a bit of a tongue twister. I'm sure it was Sean. I think it was. Anyway. But anyway, Sean the sheep and Sean being sheared. But the wonderful thing is that they just get them in a position where they can actually do the thing. Do the haircut, whatever it, you know. And I just thought wonderful about the Lord Jesus. He positioned himself silent. Isn't that wonderful? One of the first things that you do if you have an accusation against you, straight away, quickly, it's poof. Naturally, something poof out. He didn't answer. Pilate was pushing him, wasn't he? Do you remember that? And Herod? Many pushed him. And then what words did come out were just so wonderful. So wonderful. What's our conversation like? What's our conduct like? It talks about it in 1 Peter, about conduct. Very much about our conversation. Precious Lord. Where is the Lamb? Well, he's here. We've sung about him this morning. Did you know that this morning that we've sung about him? Does your heart get stirred when you sing about him? I can't mention the word lamb without going to Revelation. And I did read that it's mentioned about 28 times. So I didn't read through all of them myself. But can we go to Revelation 19? Is that okay? We'll finish here. It's about a marriage. Oh, wonderful marriage. Something amazing about the meekness of a lamb. In Revelation, then you have the other side of the coin, which is the lion. And you have his majesty. You have majesty and meekness. Wonderful picture that is, isn't it? Now it says, chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Very much like the eunuch. Let us rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? You know that's to come. Interesting that it has the Lamb first, and it mentions it again and again. I like that order. It's the marriage of the Lamb. I know it's to the bride, but actually in that order I think there's something in that. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's us. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant. Wonderful. And of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then it goes down. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You know there's going to be a wonderful marriage. That verse there in verse 7, and his wife has made herself ready. Are we ready? I can remember being told near our wedding day, don't forget it's the bride's day. Don't forget it's the bride's day. This is the Lamb's day, you know. We can get a little bit caught up in the thing of what garment I'm going to put on. It's the Lamb's day. The marriage, the feast, the supper. Oh, Lamb. Lamb of God. Are we ready? It's often my get-out answer when I get big questions, which I have had recently. Someone did say some advice for an elder about a year ago. He said to me, yeah, just don't pretend that you know all the answers. That's a very wise thing, you know. You know, sometimes I do believe the danger is that you think, you know. And so when someone asks about the rapture and things like, my little get out thing is I must be ready. We must be ready. When, how, where, we must be ready. Thou dost seek a bride all pure and holy. You know that we can only be that because of what the Lamb has done. Are we ready this morning? And if you think this is just an inward word, just for you and for me, and to feel comfortable, maybe a little bit challenged, maybe. I kept reading about the thing where they were sent out. Don't take a knapsack with you. Don't take anything with you, Jesus. And he said, you're being sent out as lambs amongst the wolves. I must get all my belongings first before I... Oh, hang on, I'm leaving behind the... I think it was to go and bury someone, even the... It was to go. We must go. I feel like a lamb in my workplace amongst wolves sometimes. They sometimes have cleverer words than me. Like Simon the sorcerer, can easily believe some of those words. Maybe show a little bit of magic, which he did. Just catch people's attention. We must show the Lamb. We must go in love. And more. like we've heard this morning. We must serve and serve again and serve more. Do you want to do that this morning? I do. I wanted to go into a little bit about the times when Jesus kept silent. But this morning I just want to say, Lord, here I am. I position myself this morning. Do you want to do that this morning? Do you want to position yourself like that wonderful lamb? Precious Lord, we've got a few minutes.